Anthony Edwards is reminding people of Michael Jordan by the way he plays. Who do we remind others of by the way we live our lives? Who do we model our life after? And how do we consider becoming more like Jesus? Let's unpack it. Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack parallels, metaphors, and topics in sports that relate to life and faith. I'm Bryce Johnson in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined today by guest co-host Jason Romano, who's up in Connecticut. And so we will say hello to him in just a moment. But on today's episode, we're talking NBA playoffs. We're talking about the Timberwolves being up 2-0. And Anthony Edwards is becoming a superstar and already reminding fans and the media of at least one player. And you see the jersey behind me, another player as well. And so we will talk about that today. Thanks to everybody watching and listening on YouTube and Spotify and Apple. And if you're on social media, we appreciate you being a part of it today. We always love when you like and share and comment and engage with our show and appreciate all the support. You can email me, Bryce@unpackingit.com, and always love hearing from you. I've been talking about it for the last month, but we're excited to partner with High Country Caregivers and their golf tournament and dinner that is coming up in just a couple weeks on May 19th and 20th. It is happening just outside of Boone, North Carolina at Elk River Golf Course. And Jerry Moore, who we had on a few weeks ago, former head coach at App State, he is on the board of High Country Caregivers, and he's inviting all of his coaching buddies, his former players, a bunch of people from App State will be there. It's going to be a fun event. I'm looking forward to being there and meeting a lot of these former coaches and current coaches across college football. So hopefully you can join us as well. The link to find out more details is in the show notes, so check that out. We appreciate High Country Caregivers. Also, we are excited to announce. We announced it last week, and I'm going to do it here on the Devotional Podcast as well. We are now partnered with Upward Sports. And so they are a part of this podcast. And Upward Sports, they equip churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. So whether you are a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. They have so many different sports that they offer, and at Upward Sports, they want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. And so you can go to upward.org/unpack, upward.org/unpack, and check out all that they offer today and get your church plugged in with Upward. All right, let me say hello to today's guest. He has been a guest on our show over the years, for many, many years. His name is Jason Romano. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's the director of media with Sports Spectrum. He's the host of the Sports Spectrum podcast. He spent 17 years as a producer at ESPN. Check out the website, sportsspectrum.com. Jason was kind enough to do an endorsement for our book, The Sports Devotional. He's right there at the top. So we appreciate all of his support of Unpacking It. Jason, great to have you on today. How are you?
Bryce, I'm good, man. It's so good to be on with you. It's so funny. Couple things. First of all, you're the first podcast that I ever appeared on, ever, in any world, which I think was, I got to think, 2013, 2014, yeah. 2012, somewhere in that range.
12. Maybe 12. I remember where I was when I did it, and that was 2012.
A long time ago. So we've known each other many years. I actually remember having to get permission from ESPN to even go on your show, which was funny. But it's really cool to kind of see full circle where we both are. And by the way, Upward is, you know, one of your sponsors, and I've been a part of Upward sports for 20 years at our church here in Connecticut, and we've had an Upward basketball program. So shout out to Upward. We're huge fans of it. We've seen people come through our Upward program and come to know Christ, and I could not be more of an advocate for Upward sports. So you didn't ask me to do that, but I figured I would mention it because I know how valuable that ministry is. So I'm so glad that they're a presenting sponsor for you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we appreciate their support and fired up to team up with them. And I'm a big believer in reaching kids through sports at especially at those young ages.
Totally.
And just playing sports in that context. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
So, all right, today we're talking NBA, and I before we jump into the Anthony Edwards comparisons, what is your big takeaway from the NBA playoffs so far? We're in round two. Your favorite team has moved into round two, so we'll watch them here soon. But what's your overall takeaway?
Yeah, so my favorite team, the Celtics, for those listening that have no idea who my favorite team is, one of the eight teams that are still remaining. My biggest takeaway, I think, I have two. Number one is what Minnesota is doing, and I know we're going to talk about Ant in a second and kind of the correlation of him and our faith, but what Minnesota is doing is eye-opening to me. They have run roughshod over the six games that they've played right now. They're undefeated. They beat Phoenix, and you know they've taken care of Denver, the champions now, and haven't lost a game, which is fascinating to me because I never saw Minnesota as a team that would just roll through, at least thus far. So that's number one. Number two, I think, is watching what the Knicks are doing and how they're kind of just playing a little bit of a bully ball game and watching them win games that they probably wouldn't have won in the past, including last night's game, where I still think there was some controversy there with regards to some of the calls late in the game.
What was the deal? I mean, they were reviewing every call. They kind of sucked the life out of the excitement of that game down the stretch. But
yeah, I've known many referees professionally, including some NBA guys, and I know that their goal isn't to become the center of attention. They really don't want to be even known. But there were some calls last night and some decision-making, I'll say, from those guys that were questionable. And it certainly needs to be figured out because you don't want teams to lose games based on any kind of calls or officiating. And that's why I thought we had review in the first place anyways. And yet sometimes even with the reviews, we're not quite getting it what we all think is right. But yeah, the Knicks are very impressive. And they're a team that I don't know if I thought they would be where they are 2 months ago. And here we are. So.
So we're going to be talking 90s basketball today as we talk about Michael Jordan.
Yes.
But the Knicks Pacers growing up, I mean, that was such a great rivalry. And to see that now reignited, and the Pacers are really good. And the Knicks, yeah, it doesn't necessarily make sense how they keep winning, but they're doing it and it's fun. And I love seeing Madison Square Garden alive. I love seeing all the former players that I grew up watching in attendance, throwing the celebrities. It is fun. So I love that the Knicks are relevant and good, and I find myself rooting for them. I have to admit it.
I can't root for them because I'm a Celtics fan. Everybody understands that. But and it's very possible Boston will face the Knicks in the next round. That's not set in stone yet, but if it happens, it's going to be a war. I'll just say that. But the Knicks have a real alpha, true number one clutch guy in Jalen Brunson that nobody thought, I mean, until last year's playoffs, they were like, maybe this guy's pretty good, but is he really there yet? And this year, I mean, he's got three straight 40-point games. Oh. And it does bring you back to the 90s. Like in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of teams with, you know, two or three superstars. There was one. I mean, Jordan had Pippen. You know, the Knicks, when you think about the 90s, had Patrick Ewing. But then there were a lot of other good role players.
Role players.
The Pacers had Reggie Miller and a lot of good role players. And the Knicks kind of fit into this vein of what a 90s NBA successful team had, especially in the Eastern Conference. And it's fun to watch. I'm curious to see how Indiana responds because I think they can take this to six or seven. And I think Indiana still can win the series if they can just get one of these on the road. But MSG, when it's rocking, and it hasn't rocked in that place for a long time, but when Madison Square Garden is rocking in the playoffs, it's a very, very tough place to play and to win.
It is.
It's a great atmosphere to watch for the playoffs. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I love tuning in, and even the sounds, the music that they use, that's old school. It's fun. So
yes.
So I love it. The other big takeaway, and this will lead us into our conversation about Anthony Edwards, is the reality. I saw this graphic on ESPN. There are only six starters left in the playoffs that are 30 years or older. So the NBA is young. We've got young stars. And to think that this 22-year-old Anthony Edwards is emerging as a superstar right before our eyes. And we've heard rumblings of him the last couple of years. He's been playing well. But honestly, I haven't been watching a ton of Minnesota Timberwolves games. They haven't been kind of thrown into the national spotlight where they're on every Thursday on TNT or Fridays on ESPN. That hasn't been the case yet. But here they are in the playoffs. All they're doing is winning. And Anthony Edwards he's lighting it up. He's putting up huge, you know, scoring and stats and all of that. But what he's doing is he is reminding us of some former players based on the fadeaways, on the way that he attacks the rim. All of a sudden you look over, you go, whoa, that reminds me of Kobe Bryant. Whoa, does that really remind me of Michael Jordan? And we're hesitant. I know you're hesitant to go there, to jump there, but you can't help but tune in and go, wow, this guy really is remarkable. And there are some similarities to some players of yesteryear. How about that?
There are. I mean, he's incredible to watch. Like, so much fun to watch. So young, even though I think he's in year four or year five, one of those, I think it's year four. He's still only 22 years old. So he's still a baby, even though he's got 4 years under his belt playing in the NBA. So he's not, you know, a rookie anymore, but he's ascended in such a fun way to watch from a guy who's only 6'4". That's first, if you want to compare the 6'4 guards that do what he does, the only guy I can think of was like Dwayne Wade. And I think that's more of a fair comparison at this point on where he is versus Jordan or versus Kobe. But he reminds you of a Jordan and a Kobe in the way that he plays and the way that he carries himself. He's got this cockiness. Let's say he's got this confidence that borders cockiness, but it's under control. Yes. Whereas I say, if you're too cocky, you think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, that kind of comes back and haunts you a little bit. And I thought Jordan and Kobe never had this cockiness about himself, just a confidence that was under control and knew that they were the best player on the floor. And Ant's got that. And it's really nice. Fun to watch. I hesitate on the comparisons only because he's 22. This is the second round of the NBA playoffs. If he goes to the finals, wins the Western Conference, now you can start to compare. And if he wins the championship, all bets are off, Bryce. Like, now you bring him into that upper echelon because he's only 22. And how many more can he win? It kind of reminds me of LeBron, too, even though he's not the same player as LeBron. He does have a freakish athleticism about himself that LeBron had, too. LeBron's just so much bigger of a player in terms of his size. But LeBron took the Cavs to the finals when he was 23, I think, or 22.
It was early.
In 2007, they got swept by the Spurs. And that, you know, we saw quickly that, you know, the Spurs were a much better team. But then LeBron never really, he got his team to, you know, in the playoffs every year. And then he went to Miami and they were in the finals every year. But he didn't win his first title until 2012. So think about that. Yeah. That's year nine for him. Jordan doesn't win his championship until year 8 or 9 in 91. He came in the league in 84, so 7, 8 years later. And Kobe obviously was with Shaq, so it kind of was helping to accelerate their victory a lot quicker. I think Kobe was 21 or 22. But still, like, we throw out these comparisons, and I like what I'm seeing so far, but we got to hold off just a hair. And let's see where this takes us. Now, if he sweeps through Denver and they somehow beat OKC or Dallas and they get to the finals.
That's right.
It's a different conversation, my friend. It really is.
Well, he's got a ways to go from an accomplishment standpoint. And so I think today it's sort of looking at the way he plays and, okay, wow, there are resemblances of Kobe and Jordan. For and sure. So. People are taking notice. There's no question about it. So there's an article on theathletic.com with the headline, "Go ahead, say it. Anthony Edwards looks a lot like Michael Jordan right now." Doesn't mean that he is Michael Jordan. Doesn't mean that he's accomplishing what Jordan has done, but he looks a lot like him. And so Marcus Thompson writes in the article, "Still, the resemblance is uncanny. The way the wristband sits below his left elbow and his left calf is covered, just like Jordan. The way each step has a little bounce to it and how he glides when he's in the air, just like Jordan. The brashness of his facade and how he smiles in moments and at his opponents with a certainty he has yet to earn." And it is. It's the way he carries himself, his demeanor, his personality. And I have to admit, I didn't like him because of how he was in the movie Hustle with Adam Sandler. Yeah, and I was like, I don't know if I like this guy, but I am on the bandwagon. I'm all in. I was a Kobe fan. I was a Jordan fan. And because I see some of the resemblance and long for that type of game to be in today's NBA, I love it. Listen, I like Steph Curry. I liked all the three-point shooting, but it's nice to see a guy attack the rim, the fadeaway, the mid-range jumper. I love seeing it again. So I'm enjoying that aspect of it.
Well, what's really interesting, it's a great point that you brought up about Steph, because I've talked to so many people, you know, about Caitlin Clark and how she's transcending the women's game right now. And I've compared her to like the female version of Steph Curry. Like, she's doing things that we've never seen from some of these women basketball players ever, in terms of taking 30 footers and draining them. And that's actually a good shot in today's, you know, game, watching her play. And Steph did that. He transcended the game. And if you watch the NBA today from when Steph came in 2011 or 12, 13, area, it's completely different. Like, it's all about drive and kick and having shooters and putting people out of the perimeter. But if Anthony Edwards helps his team to a title, or at least success all the way to the finals, in the way that he plays, and he can shoot threes too, but he doesn't make that all of his game. He attacks the rim. He can shoot the mid-range jumper. Maybe, Bryce, maybe we can bring this back to the pre-Steph Curry days and say, you know what, you can win NBA games without having to shoot 43-pointers in a game.
Maybe. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, just even we've talked recently about the big man kind of coming back in college basketball, and also in the NBA. We got Jokic and Embiid and even Giannis to a certain extent. So, and that's old school basketball too. So it's fun because there are different ways to play, but it's neat to see Edwards play this style because we haven't seen it. And, you know, we could talk about a lot of players over the years that have reminded us of Michael Jordan, and maybe they had an element. You know, Vince Carter had a little bit of that. Early on, Harold Miner had a very small element.
His nickname was Baby Jordan. I mean, what are we doing?
Translate. I would say Russell Westbrook in recent years had a lot of the competitiveness, but then he didn't really make players better. He wasn't always the best, you know, kind of teammate type of guy. But Anthony Edwards, he's got that. He's raised everybody else's game around him, and we're seeing that with the success of the Timberwolves. And so the resemblance, the similarities are there. And so the question for us today, in our own lives, we'll jump into the faith side, is, does our life look like, resemble Jesus? Yeah. And the character of Jesus and the way that he lived his life, are we living in a similar way? And that when people watch us, interact with us, do we remind them of Jesus? And it's kind of a tough, you know, it's a tough question to sort of, analyze, because we're wondering how other people view us. But do we ever think about it? To what extent do we truly desire to be like Jesus? And what steps are we taking to model our life, model our game after him? And are we, you know, studying and looking to the scriptures and God's word to say, okay, here's how Jesus interacted. Here are the characteristics of Jesus. And do we long to be like him? And the key thing is, we're not going to be Jesus. We're not going to live a perfect life like he did. Thankfully, he did, and he paid the price for us on the cross. And so he took care of that. But we are now, as John Mark Comer uses the phrase, we are apprentices. We follow Jesus. And so as we do, we absolutely should become more and more like him, to where people go, huh? Yeah, there's something different about him. That sounds and looks and reminds me a little bit of who I read about and who Jesus is. So that's kind of the parallel for us today. And Jason, I'll let you jump in right there.
Well, I think the apprentice word is just a great word that I hadn't thought about, and I had not heard John Mark Comer say that, but I love his stuff. I love his books, and I think that's what it is. It reminds me, I have my Bible out to 2 Corinthians 5:20. And Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. But to be ambassadors, right? So you're representing someone when you're an ambassador. And for us, we're representing Jesus. And so if we're representing him, but we're not looking anything like him at all, or at least trying to live a life that's pleasing to him and reflects who God is, I think we're missing it. Like we're completely doing a disservice to our testimony and to our witness to other people. And so I mean, obviously I think the best example of the way that we can look like Jesus is to serve others. Because I think, you know, when Jesus came to this earth, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. So Jesus coming to this earth said, I came to serve. So we have to look like Jesus, number one, by the way that we serve. I also believe by the way that we love other people. You know, Jesus said the greatest commandments are to love your neighbor as yourself, to start with loving God first and then love your neighbor as yourself. So we have to reflect that. And if we're not, if we're the most unloving and we never serve and we're not exuding any of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the gentleness, if none of that is coming out in the way that we carry ourselves, where we are doing a disservice to our testimony. And I'd even go further and say, what's your relationship with Jesus really like here? Because if you're never showing others out there the love of Jesus, the way that he served, the way that he cared, and the way that you carry yourself, I would question if you even are growing in your relationship with Jesus. I can never question if you've ever put your faith and trust in him, but it doesn't just start, or I should say, it doesn't just end with when we say yes to Jesus, we get baptized, and then we just go on our merry way. No, there's a calling that we've been placed by God to live out this life. That's why it's called a walk and not a run with Jesus. It's a walk with Jesus every single day, taking a step to try and be more and more like him. So I think it's vital, Bryce. I really do, in the way that we carry ourselves.
Amen. Absolutely. And in thinking about a couple of those terms that you use, or you know, being like Jesus with love, and I want to talk about your shirt too. But when I think about Anthony Edwards, I'm tuning in and I'm watching him just attack the basket. And it's like, whoa, wow. Like that's different. Like okay. I haven't seen that since Kobe and Jordan. Like, man, that's impressive. And so we'll blow people away when we actually love the way Jesus loved. Totally. And we actually serve the way Jesus served. People are going to go, whoa, wow. Really? Yeah. You still love that person, even though what they've done to you? And then to throw in, you know, the word forgive. Your shirt says live to forgive. You wrote a book about that and the relationship with your father. And so encourage people to check that out. But forgiveness is another way that we represent Jesus. And it's like, wait, how can you possibly forgive that person? Well, Jesus has forgiven me. And so we live that out. And it's like, oh, wow. So I'm like Jesus in the way that I forgive and show others grace and mercy as well.
Yeah. Forgiveness is, I probably should have used that word since I wrote a whole book on the topic, but that's a vital entity in who Jesus is as well, right? Like when you read it, he talks about, even in the Lord's Prayer, which so many of us have memorized, I called it the Our Father when I was a kid growing up at St. Patrick's Church in Ravenna, New York. But in that, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or as we forgive those who sin against us. So Jesus is teaching this model for us to live out, to say, listen, obviously go to God and ask for forgiveness. And he grants that every single time when we ask it. But then we also have to practice that, right? Put it into practice and say, listen, okay, now I have to forgive people who have wronged me. Or if I'm driving on the road and somebody cuts me off, I don't scream and yell or even, you know, use the middle finger or something like that at them. I forgive them and I move forward because that's what God has done for me. And so it's forgiveness, love, grace, serving. Like there's all these traits. Now, this does not mean it's easy, Bryce, to emulate Jesus. There's a reason why I think he wants us to go back to him every single day asking for forgiveness, because we mess this up as humans. But if we strive every single day to be Christ-like in all that we do, in the way that we talk, what does the Bible talk about as far as language? Now, maybe not specific words from cursing or anything, but it talks about our language to be building people up and encouraging people and to be pleasing and wholesome, right? And if we're sitting there out there cursing people left and right and ripping them apart, that's not very Christ-like. And listen, I'm guilty of that. I've been caught up in debates or even conversations with people where I'm not the most encouraging, I'll say, or uplifting to people, but I try and I recognize it. And I think that's the thing here, Bryce. It's like we recognize when we don't do this. So that's why the throne of grace is such a beautiful thing that we can go back to whenever we need to. But I think if we strive, man, it's going to, especially for all believers, to strive to be more like Christ, I think people would look at Christians differently instead of throwing out monikers of hypocrite or judgmental or whatever else it might be, just loving them where they're at, serving them where they're at, forgiving as God in Christ has forgiven us. Like if we start exuding these traits every single day, I think people would want to be more attracted to living a life as a follower of Christ. And man, I think it's what we've been called to do, right? To go and make disciples and to be witnesses for Jesus. I think more people would be attracted to that because they see that, not because they see some regimented, judgmental, hypocritical person screaming at them to, you know, to follow God or something like that.
Yeah, we want to remind them of Jesus. And yes, Anthony Edwards misses shots and he misses his assignment on defense. Yeah. But when you watch the totality of a game, when he plays and you see, wow, yeah, I mean, he does a lot of things that are similar to the greats. And you see something in him that goes, man, there's something special here. And so that's our desire as followers of Jesus, is that we're taking steps toward him, with him, and desiring to become more like him, and evaluating our character and going, man, this area of my life, this character doesn't line up well with who Jesus is and who he calls us to be as his followers. And then going to him and saying, God, help me. I need the power of the Holy Spirit within me to transform this area of my life and character so that I can live and be more Christ-like. And so let me share some scripture that can encourage us today. So 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And so the simplicity of that, live as Jesus did. That we wake up every day and go, how can I live like Jesus and be like Jesus? And then Ephesians 5:1-2, this is the Amplified version. It says, therefore be imitators. That's another word to talk about, imitator. Therefore be imitators of God, copy him, follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father and walk continually in love. Value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ has also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it becomes a sweet fragrance. And so there's a lot in there, Ephesians 5:1-2. But you know, empathy, compassion, unselfishness, and then the desire of imitating God as our Father and imitating him. And copying and following his example. So there's a lot in there, but is that our approach? I'm looking to God. I'm looking to his character. And let me just say this again. We are not going to be Jesus. We are not going to be God. And we honor and worship them for their perfection. But that's the standard. That's who we want. And he's, as he lives within us, we're becoming more and more like God, like Jesus. And so that's the encouragement and the excitement of following him.
Well, it reminds me of there's a coach, and I don't remember who it was. It's probably somebody like Belichick or somebody that says, you know, let's chase after perfection, knowing that we won't achieve perfection, but while chasing after perfection, what we'll achieve is excellence. And I think that can correlate. I know we're doing another correlation here, Bryce. Sorry. But I think that can correlate into this, because while we are never going to be Jesus and we're not trying to be Jesus, and if anybody thinks they are Jesus, that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But while we know we aren't God or aren't his son Jesus, if we chase after Jesus, we're going to be more like him. And that's going to increase what you would call a standard of excellence, right? It would increase our demeanor. It would increase our integrity. Our character, like you talked about, how much we love people, how much we serve them. We're never going to get it fully, but we'll be a lot better if we chase after that and be imitators of him. I love that scripture you just had in Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself. Like imitators. So let's try to imitate in the best way possible and remember who Jesus was. First of all, that starts with getting into scripture. and really understanding the character of Christ and understanding who he is and what he did for us and how he lived his life. But then it also includes us being able to walk the walk a little bit when we go out, right? And not leaving that here. Like I might leave that at church, or I might leave that in my house with my wife and daughter. But when I go out, am I that same person? And I hope when I die someday that people will say, he was the same person here as he was there. He was a Christian everywhere he went. Because Christianity, and it's not something we put on a shelf that we just go to, you know, when we need to, or we go to when it's convenient or appropriate. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people who are profess a faith in Jesus who then, when they go into other circles or even go into their platforms that God has given them, they kind of put their Christianity on a shelf and say, well, I'll go back to that when it's appropriate. No, we're followers of Christ everywhere we go. It should be the centerpiece of our life. And if we're going to be imitators of Christ, that's the best way to remember this as we wind down. I'm sure, Bryson, you're probably like, Romano, please stop talking here. But I'm fired up because I love this, because it's so important to represent Christ everywhere you go. It's been something that's been on my heart a lot lately.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, I mentioned John Mark Comer. So he has a new book out. It's called Practicing the Way. And a key part of that is be like Jesus. And so I was listening to it this morning on Spotify, but anyway, great to continue this conversation. I encourage people to check out his book, Practicing the Way. I've already listened to it once, but was going back to it. One last thing about the imitation that I wanted to mention too, as we wrap things up, I'm a dad of young girls, and I'm already seeing my daughters imitate me. Yeah. And Maddie, my 4.5-year-old, she'll say things like, oh, look, I did this like you, or I'm trying to be like you. And it's eye-opening and it's convicting. Like, all right, I got somebody watching me. But do we have that hunger and that desire in our own lives to truly be like Jesus, to be like our Heavenly Father? And you know, because Maddie's limited. So like she doesn't know what else is out there. She just wants to be like her dad.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's like, no, get rid of all the other stuff that we're trying to be like. I'm trying to be like, you know, this CEO, or I'm trying to be like this athlete, or I'm trying. No, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like who I want to live like he did when he was here on earth. And he's the perfect standard, but man, that's the standard you want to pursue. And so just like Anthony Edwards and all these guys, like the standard's Michael Jordan. And so to be in the same conversation, that's great. Like that's what you desire as an NBA player, no doubt. Yeah. But for us, if followers of Jesus, we should represent and look like him and act like him. Yeah. So that's the challenge to us. And you mentioned it too. We do fall short, and there is grace, and we continue to just, you know, go back to God and say, God, help me. I didn't look like you. I didn't look like you today. I didn't act like you today. I got caught up in my own Bryce-ness. Get rid of the Bryce-ness so that I can have more Christ-likeness. Right, yes. That's what we want. We don't want to be like Bryce. We want Christ-likeness. That's the key.
So. Well, it's follow me as I follow Christ. I think of the words of Paul, right, the Apostle Paul. And when I hear you talk about you and your daughter, you know, that's following me as I follow Christ. So if she's following you, but you're not following Christ, then that's not the great example that you want your daughter to see. But if she is trying to imitate you, knowing that you're trying to imitate Christ, well, that's the best example that we can be, especially to our number one priority ministry that we'll ever have, which is our family and our children. And I can look at my daughter now, who's 20 years old, and I'm the dad of one child who's a daughter, just like you have daughters. And I can see even today that sometimes she'll say something or act a certain way or something will come out. And I'm like, oh, that's not following me as I followed Christ. That's following me as I acted like a fool.
Right.
She saw something, and so there's still those hints that I see of imitation, if you will, of some of the things that I do. But I also see her in church on Sunday, going to a Christian school, growing in community, walking with Christ. And I hope that there was some of that imitation as well. But you're right, man. Like, just let's be imitators of Christ the best that we can. And if people want to imitate us, great. But ultimately, hopefully they're imitating us because we're imitating Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we point them to him, and then they begin their journey of following Jesus themselves. Amen. But they may look to us first. They may look to us first. And so do we show the similarities so that then they take that interest to go, let me see what this Jesus is all about. He's really changed Bryce's life. let me see what this would look like in my own life, and who is Jesus? Who is he really? Yeah. And then desire to become like him. So, Jason, man, enjoyed being with you. Thanks for being a part of the show today, and encourage people to check out sportsspectrum.com and find the Sports Spectrum podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and keep up the great work, Jason, man. We appreciate it.
Bryce, great to be back with you, buddy. Anytime you want me on, let me know. And I always love talking with you and talking Jesus with you, most importantly. So thanks for having me.
Amen. Absolutely. He's Jason Romano, and I appreciate you, man. I'll end with this. Anthony Edwards has a long way to go to be more like Michael Jordan, but at least he's showing glimpses of similarities. And so you and I, we have plenty of room to grow in our Christ-likeness, but let's be challenged to pursue a life that reminds others of Jesus. And here's the key today, too. Let's allow his spirit to work within us, and through his transforming power, make us more and more like him. And so let's not try to do this in our own strength, but as we take steps with him, toward him, and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work within us, we can become more and more like him and the character that he represents in scripture and ultimately as we follow him. So there you go. I'm Bryce. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected, and through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well. And I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.